miss this one. Now, we've got special singing from the choir. Rod and Debbie's going to have a couple every night. I've got the teenagers singing. One song, the teen choir that we have here. And then, of course, there'll be always a special right before he preaches. So it's going to be a big, it's going to be a big service. Please turn your Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter 23. I'm really glad you're here. Today I want to speak to you about statements made at Calvary. Jesus spoke some words from the cross of Calvary, and he made seven statements. By the way, there are other statements made too by other people that were surrounding that. And we're going to go through that. I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I'll make this message all. I might just cut this and finish it tonight. I'm not going to rush. I'm really excited about what God gave me. And I think the most closest thing into our heart ought to be Calvary. I mean, I'm glad our Savior loved us so much he's willing to die for us. And for to this morning, if I can do it all in one service, I will. I've got another message for tonight already. But if I've already determined in my heart, I told Rose, I said, I don't think I can finish this in one sermon. But today I want to share with you statements, some words that Christ spoke from Calvary. Look at the book of Luke chapter 23, verse 32 and 33. If you have a pen and you're bulletin on the back, you can take some notes. I'm going to try to give you a little bit of an outline to make Calvary's even more special to you. You know, Calvary ought to be always in our heart every day, every hour, every minute. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. In Luke chapter 23, in verse 32 and 33, you have Luke 23. Amen. By the way, when I get done reading, I'm going to spend some time in Luke 23. We'll be in some other chapters also, but at the beginning, I will be in Luke 23. So when you sit down, keep your place in Luke 23, because I'm going to show you some statements out of Luke 23. Amen? Look at verse 32 of Luke 23. And there were also two other malefactors. And we know that's a big word, but kids, what that means is he was a thief, he was a crook, he was a criminal. Malefactor means like a criminal. There were two other criminals with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Jesus had no sin, but he's being hung with two criminals, two sinful men, two rebellious, two rebels, two murderers and extortioners and all kinds of things that could be laid at their feet. Jesus was crucified with sinners. Aren't you glad he loves sinners?
Amen.
By the way, those two sinners represent the whole world. One trusted Christ as his Savior and one rejected him. Well, let's look at verse 32 again. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come, by the way, making me think about this, I didn't have a plan. Jesus took a criminal's place. Barabbas. Release Barabbas. We'll give you Jesus. What should I do with Jesus? Crucify him. So they let the criminal loose out of prison, and Jesus took the criminal's place. You know, it seemed like all he was doing all the time was taking the sinner's place.
Amen.
Well, notice, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death in verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, it's also called the place of the skull, Golgotha Hill. When they came to the place called Calvary, they crucified him. They crucified the Son of God. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Heavenly Father, for several days and maybe weeks, you've had this on my heart to preach. And Lord, you've told me this week I should preach it. And I want to thank you for Calvary, Father. And I pray that we'll be enriched and our hearts will be blessed. Holy Ghost, I pray you'll go up and down the aisles and work in everyone's heart today and fill me with the Spirit of God that I can be a blessing. Help me to do well for you, Father, that I can be a blessing to the people. And Lord, I just pray that everything I say and all will honor you, and Lord, that you'll get glory for it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I want us to look at the words of Christ as he spoke statements from the cross, seven statements. You know, approximately about 2,000 years ago, just outside of the city of Jerusalem, they took our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and there they put him on a cruel cross, and they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and there they threw him in the ground, and they raised him up, and there Jesus hung between heaven and earth, suffering and dying for my sins and for your sins. You know, this crucifixion was foretold long before Jesus ever went to the cross. I want you to hold your hand there in Luke, but I want you to turn to Isaiah 52 and 53. Isaiah chapter 52, one verse, and then I'm going to have you look at Isaiah 53. The great prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus ever came to this earth, 700 years before he was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that the Son of God would be crucified and slain for our sins. And it was no accident. It just didn't happen by chance. Just like the virgin birth was no accident. Being born in Bethlehem was no accident. Everything was all God's plan and all God's purpose. The plan for man. Amen?
Amen.
But you want to see the extremity of the crucifixion of Christ? You know they took him and they lashed him and they beat him. They put a crown of thorns on him. And they just pulled all the hair out of his beard and they just brutalized him. And then they lashed him and pulled back and lashed him and pulled back. The severity of Christ's beating before he even got to the cross was a miracle that he didn't die before he went to Calvary. And with the men doing with the, no doubt with Satan trying to kill him with those, having an effect on those evil men that were beating him and torturing him, no doubt it's a miracle that Jesus made it to the cross, but he did. By the way, even history says the scourging was so severe back in the time of Christ that 25% of the people that were scourged died. One out of four people died before they ever made it to the crucifixion. And then, of course, crucifixion was the most fearful way of dying because not only was it so painful, but they would put you on that cross and they'd put a little block under your foot. And then when you hung, the air would, your lungs would be collapsed and you'd have to push down to get your lungs up, get your shoulder up so you could get air in your lungs. And then you have to let back down and push up and let back down. And all the time, all the lacerations and beating. And up and down for hours and maybe even a day or two, people would go on and on and on. And the crucifixion was so feared. Then later they would come and take bats and break your kneecaps. And once they broke your kneecaps, you could never raise up to get air in your lung to keep going. And so, but by the way, they never broke a bone in Jesus' body. He gave up the ghost before they ever came. Matter of fact, they marveled. He said, "We can't believe this." Of course, the Bible said not a bone would be broken. But by the way, although there was no broken bones, every bone of Christ was out of joint. When they put him down that ground, it's all the weight. Every bone went out of joint. The Bible teaches us that. I want you to look at Isaiah 52:14. As many were astounded at thee, his visage, the way he looked, was so marred, more than any man. No one ever No one ever received a beating and a scourging and suffering like Christ did. No man's ever received what Christ received. No man. It was so marred more than any man. Look up here, kids. Our Savior was so beaten, his body was literally disfigured. He almost didn't have the form of a man. He was so beaten, mutilated. The Bible says, as many as were, and when people saw him, they were astonished. They looked, in other words, when they saw Christ, they saw a frightful, frightful sight. How many are with me? As many were astonished at his visage was so marred, more than any man. Don't say he didn't love you. Don't say he never gave for you and me. He gave everything. And his form more than the sons of men. Nobody in all mankind, all down through generations of the history of man, ever suffered and took on what Christ took on. Look at Isaiah 53:4. Look at verse 3. 53:3. He is despised and rejected. You know, they did it back then. They're still doing it today. Hasn't changed, has it? A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Yeah, remember when they took him? Everybody fled. The prophet Isaiah said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs. Did he have any of his own? No. Whose griefs was he bearing? Our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Stay with me now. Come on. He was wounded for? Right. Talk to me. He was bruised for? Yeah. The chastisement of was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb. Oh, there's that precious lamb. There's that lamb that Abel offered up that God told Cain and Abel, told Adam and Eve about. Remember how he killed a lamb and slain and said, I'm going to send a lamb. A lamb's going to be your redeemer. And they offered up as a type, as a symbol. Remember I talked to you about that? Here's that lamb. It was the precious lamb of God. The precious lamb of God. He brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He could have, but he didn't. Look down verse 10. You Romans class, you know about this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put, the Lord God, Father, had put the Son to grief. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for what? Sin. My sin, your sin, the sin of the whole world. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. Christ said, I'll pay a debt for him. And God said, all right, I'm going to punish him for all mankind's sin. And hallelujah, he did, and he's satisfied. God meted out, demanded justice for sins. And Christ made that justice come about. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. If you're saved today, say amen. Amen. For he shall bear their iniquity. By the way, even though you and I weren't born back then, we weren't there when Jesus was crucified, and we weren't even 700 years before he was crucified, but we're right here in this chapter. Every one of us are represented right here in this chapter because it was for our sins. Are you still with me? I mean, my sins, your sins, my sins, your sins, My sins. He had to go to the cross, not because of him, because of me. My sins. Your sins. That's what put my sins put the nails in his hand. My sins put the lash on him. My sins put the suffering on him. Your sins, you're the one to blame. I'm the one to blame. And the Bible says the whole world is to blame. Matter of fact, turn with me in 1 John chapter 2. I was going to quote this, but I want you to see it. 1 John chapter 2. We need to go back to Calvary. You want to fall in love with Jesus? Go back to Calvary. It'll do us good. Amen. I'm going to have to take my jacket off. I'm very warm. I hope it doesn't offend anyone. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. I'm sorry. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 John. I'll get it right now. I'm ready. Get a little excited there. I told you he died for my sins. It was my sins. It was your sins. And it was the sins of the whole world. Was it my sins? Was it your sins? And was it the sins of all the world? Look what it says in 2:1. My little children. Oh, you're saved today. You're a child of God. I know people say we're all a child of God, but that's not a true statement. We're all the creation of God. The Bible teaches that we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We're all the creation of God, but only those that have trusted Christ, their Savior, are the child of God. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
And this wonderful Savior that is righteous, the Lamb of God, He is a propitiation. What a great word, that word propitiation. It means that what Jesus did on the cross satisfied an outraged holy God over sin. What Jesus did on the cross, Nat, satisfied God the Father for our sins. He was our go-between. He was our mediator. He was our propitiation. And he's a propitiation I want you to see something. For our sins. Plural. S-I-N-S. How many see that? And not for our only, but also for the sins, S-I-N-S, plural, of the whole world. Austin. Every sin, honey, that you've ever committed and will commit until your life ends or the rapture, every sin that you've ever committed, Brother Samuel, every sin that I've ever committed or I'm going to commit in the future, they were all nailed. Jesus died for all, for all people's sins and for all people's all their sins. You mean he even died for sins I haven't committed yet? Yes. Because see, he was the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's God. He's the creator. He knew exactly what he, in his book, he knew all about what we're going to do. Now watch this. He said he died for all our sins. Now listen to me, especially you young converts. By the way, that man that I led to Christ when I was in Naples, he came to the ABL program near the end. He came, he says, I'm the guy you talked to. Tony. His name was Tony. I thought it was Joey. It's Tony. I said, who are you? He said, you're the one that told me about Jesus over the phone when you're in Naples. I said, oh, man, that's a good. See, what Tony had a hang up on, And a lot of people have a hang up, and you might have one too, or might come in your mind once in a while. And Brother David, you mentioned earlier, alluded to it. See, we don't go to heaven or hell because of our sins. Jesus already died for our sins. See, he was worried about being a hypocrite. Tony, I said, well, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you drink. I don't care if you cuss. I mean, God's not in favor of that. But I said, that you're cussing, you're going and drinking, that hasn't got one thing to do with going to heaven. Wow. Now, when people get saved, God makes them a new creature, and they turn from that. But a saved person could drink and still go to heaven. And wouldn't have a great testimony, and you sure wouldn't be winning people. You wouldn't be filled with the, you'd be filled with the wrong spirit. But no one ever goes to hell because of their sins, telling lies, cussing, lying, murder, adultery, drinking, any sin you can think of, pornography, even suicide. People don't go to hell because they don't go to hell because of those sins, because Christ died for those sins. Amen. All of them. People go to hell because of one sin. Singular. Not sins, because our sins are covered by the blood. Isn't this good? See, Brother Cadiver, I can never cover up what I've done, but I'm glad my Savior did. Yes. But there's only one sin that sends people to hell. It's the sin of unbelief. Amen. You see, God brought a son for all of us to have eternal life. It's a free gift, for the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God's got a gift for every man and woman in the world if they'll just receive it. That's why it says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Amen. And so it's not the sins, because he's taken all those. Can you imagine all the sins of the world? If he just died for all my sins, I've got multitudes, thousands of sins in my life. Can you imagine Jesus on the cross? Brother Jack, he died for every single person that would ever be born, all their entire life, every sin they've ever, he died for. Can you imagine the multitude of sins? Can you imagine that extremity? Hello? And so it's not the sins that sends people to hell, because the blood atonement's made that possible for them to go to heaven.
Amen.
There's only one sin, and that's what I told Tony over the phone. And when Tony got that, he said, oh, my lands. I said, well, do you want to go to heaven or hell? He said, I'd like to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I'll take Jesus.
Amen.
There's only one sin, the sin of unbelief.
Amen.
You guys are looking, you look in Mark, it says, those who believe and are baptized, they go to heaven. Those who don't believe, they're damned. They got nothing to do with baptism. The reason people get baptized is because they are a believer.
Yes, right.
See, the only thing, God's already made a provision. We can't save anyone.
Right.
We just have the responsibility to receive it.
Yes.
No one can work for it.
Right.
It's a free gift. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now look, Jesus, from 9 a.m. in the morning till 3 p.m., Jesus on the cross of Calvary hung between heaven and earth for 6 hours. And he did it for all mankind. If you're here today, you're part of mankind. So Jesus died for you. Could you say that? Jesus, he died for me. Say this, say, Jesus personally died for me. Because if you'd have been the only person in the world, he still would have died for you. Now I want us to look now And by the way, so great was that judgment of sin, Brother Mark. So great was it, Brother Eddie, for mankind. Think with me, Eddie, that the earth literally stood in complete, total darkness. The whole universe, preacher boy, as Christ stood on the suffered on the cross, so great was the judgment for sin that the whole all the earth was engulfed in complete darkness. From 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon, 3 solid hours, complete darkness on the face of the earth. Jesus, while on the cross, spoke some powerful words. He made 7 statements from the cross. And from the cross of Calvary, he made these statements, and I think he had some special things behind those words. And today I'm going to give you a few this morning, and we'll cover the rest of them tonight. Along with those statements Jesus made, I'm going to give you 7 statements that Christ made. And I'm going to try to give you a truth behind every one of them. And I also noticed he was not the only one making statements. I've got recorded at least 7 of his and 6 of the others. And I'm going to show you. By the way, 13's a bad number, isn't it? 7's a perfect perfection. And 6 from man, 7 from God. Can anyone say amen? Let's look at the first one. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. First statement from Calvary, from the lips of our Savior, was in Luke 23:34. You Sunday school teachers and you deacons and you preachers, you ought to take this outline. It'll preach. And by the way, I didn't get it out of a book. God gave everything I'm giving to you. God gave it out of me as I studied. Amen. I'm not against getting other things from other people, but it's exciting when God just gives it to you yourself. Amen? Notice, in Luke, I'll go back to Luke. Luke 23 was the first statement. The first statement that Jesus makes. Jesus, then, in Luke 23:34. Stay that in chapter because I'm going to show you there's several statements in this one chapter here. First statement at Calvary from Christ. First words that uttered through his precious lips. Then said Jesus. Annie, I'm glad it's always Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Look what my wonderful Savior said as he hung and suffered on the cross at Calvary. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. A lady was talking to me a few weeks ago about how people were saying unthoughtful things to her and actually downright almost cruel thoughts. I'm sure they didn't mean it, but sometimes we do some stupid things, even when we don't mean to do them. And I was so troubled when I went home that night just from talking about it and thinking about their precious thoughts that they had to go through. And God gave me he said, tell that lady. I called and left a message. I said to this dear, precious lady I was talking to, I said, here's what God gave me to give to you. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Many times we just got to forgive people for what they do. Because many times we do things that we really don't know what we're doing. But I want you to see this number one. Luke 23:34, Jesus' first words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you writing that? Are you making your outline, preachers? Here you go. Number one, these were compassionate words. Number one, these were compassionate words. Isn't that just like Jesus? Always trying to bring forgiveness to sinners. You know what I thought about? In Mark chapter 9, verse 36, says he came to the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was moved when Jesus saw the, Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because he saw people as sheep without, I'm going to read it to you, Matthew 9:36, I don't want to misquote it. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And here's the compassionate shepherd, Brother Michael, on the cross of Calvary, dying for the sheep. Father, forgive them. That's number one. Those are compassionate words. Compassionate words of Christ. You know, you ever think about Jesus? He who was faultless and sinless was seeking forgiveness for all the sinners. I thought about this. 1 Peter 3:18 says he was the just that died for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Hallelujah. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm glad, Brother Mark, I'm glad my Savior, my compassionate Savior was on the cross, and he had compassionate words and compassionate thoughts for my soul and for your soul and for the souls of all mankind. Can anyone say amen? By the way, keep looking at the next verse now. In verse 35, now the rulers make statements. These aren't the statements. I'm giving you one Jesus statement. I'm going to give you seven of Jesus statements and six of the lost people's men statement. How many know what preacher's doing? Look at verse 35. And the people stood and beholding. Can you imagine seeing the Son of God in his state, completely so moved, so marred? I'm going to tell you right now, there was no one there that wasn't moved standing around Christ. And the rulers also with them, watch, they derided him. I thought about that, derided him. Saying, he saved others. Let him save himself of Christ if he be the chosen of God. They're lucky he didn't save himself. If he had saved himself, he couldn't have saved us. And I see these evil men, these rulers, wicked rulers that hated God and hated his Savior and hated his Messiah, hated his anointed one. And I see them, the derided. I thought about that word derided. Yeah, you need to think about the word they derided him. In other words, they made fun of him. They tried to humiliate him. They tried to treat him with scorn. You kids, look up here. Hey, Travis, look up the preacher. This is really important. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want no one laughing down there. You better listen to this old man, because I'm going to tell you what I'm telling you today is one of the greatest things you can get in your heart. Now, I've been yelling at that boy since a little boy, so he's almost like one of my own kids. He's grew up on our buses since around 5. He's been in my office lots of times, haven't you, son? You know preacher loves you, don't you? Because someday God might call you to preach, and some other kid like you is going to be down there, and you're going to say, hey, listen up! I got something important to tell you. Amen. Boy, I love our kids. I write them all the time because I love them. I'm trying to make me an army here of kids. That'll be great Christian soldiers. I'm trying to be a recruiter. I'm trying to be a captain and try to make sure I have a good, solid army here. With wings, they'll fly with the Air Force with wings as eagles. And we'll get in the trenches like the army and fight those foe on the front line. Amen? Now listen, I want you to see this. What was Jesus' first words? Words of compassion. Yeah, Father, what, the words of compassion, right? Look at these. They derided. In other words, he made fun of them. They tried to humiliate him. They made the scorn. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. These were words of cruelty. Cruel words. Isn't it somehow men always have cruel words for the things of God? Sometimes we treat the things of God with cruelty. Even though the things of God are trying to help us, we treat them with cruelty. And then look at the next statement the soldiers make in verse 36. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." Did you see that? You see what the soldiers are saying? How many see that? These words from these soldiers, they were conspiring words. In other words, they were underhanded. They didn't care about him. They just wanted to jar him. They just wanted to make fun of him. Are you with me? They were crafty words and cunning words. These soldiers were given crafty words and cunning words, words that were underhanded and sense of mockery. Are you with me?
Amen.
So we have words from the rulers of cruelty, words from the soldiers of craftiness and cunningness. And then look at the next verse, 39. Let's look at the two thieves. They had statements too. And one of the malefactors, one of those criminals, one of those thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." You can circle that word "us." Brother Cooley, he didn't give a flip about Jesus. He just cared about us. He just cared about me, myself, and I. In other words, "Hey, pal, get me out of here. You're supposed to be someone. Get me off this cross. I need something from you. I don't care about you. I don't give a flip, but man, get me out of here." In other words, there was motivation behind his statement. We know it, self-motivation. Those are conspiring words. The first thief, he had conspiring words. So number one, Jesus had comforting words. Then the rulers had cruelty, words of cruelty. Soldiers had crafty and cunning words. The thief had conspiring words. Look at the next thief. And verse 40, but the other answering, "Oh, this is really good. I never saw this." David mentioned something. Every time you read the Bible, it seems like God just showed you something new again. It is alive. I've been preaching for since I've been 21 years old. And I just saw a little special thing. I knew the truth behind it, but it seems like he always shows you a little treat. Amen? But the other thief answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear?" By the way, he makes two statements. This thief makes two statements. But the others answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we deserve what we're getting. Man, we're evil, no good, rotten sinners. We deserve everything we're getting. We indeed justly, for we received the due reward for our deeds." How many are with me? Man, you know what I see that, Brother Coolidge? I see that words of conviction of sin. Those are convicting words. He was convicted of his sin. Those are words of conviction. And by the way, until you get convicted of sin, your sin, you can't be saved. You got to know you're lost before you can get saved. Are you still with me? "We indeed justly for receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss." Words of conviction of sin. And he said, look at verse 42. He said unto Jesus, "Lord," that's who he is. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. The Bible says, no matter what people say, one day every person in the world is going to bow their knees and confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Woo! He had convicting words of sin. He had conviction of sin. Now he has words of confession unto salvation. How many see that? And by the way, you don't get confession unto salvation until you get conviction. Isn't that great? And then look at Jesus, number two for Jesus, and I'll quit on this. I'll stop. I'll stop on three. Then look at the next statement that Jesus makes. This is the second statement of Jesus now. How many are with me yet?
Amen.
So far, you've got number one, Jesus had words of what? Right. The rulers had words of cruelty. The soldiers had words of craftiness and cunningness. The first thief had words of conspiring. Are you with me? And the repentant thief, he had words of conviction of sin and words of confession unto salvation. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now watch this. Oh, this is so great. I'll probably stop on this one because I'm going to take a minute on this. This will be my last one because I'm going to park here for a minute. Look what Jesus said. In verse 43, Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today, see, God's got an immediate salvation. Salvation is not a hope soul. Salvation in Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of God, is a no soul. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He turned that repentant thief that had confession unto salvation, and he turned to him with words of comfort. Because when you know you're going to heaven, that brings me comfort. I can't imagine living in this world not knowing that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I can't tell you how many times I've been with people over the last 28 years of pastoring, 38 years of preaching, where someone died, and I had to spend with the widow or the mom and dad or the son or the daughter, and I had to tell them, "We're going to see him again. I know it's hard right now, but we're going to see him again." I think of Grandpa Lemley all the time. I'm so glad that Jesus gave us that comfort. As I held on to Grandma and the family and said, "He's left us, but we're going to see him again."
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, heaven gives me comfort. There's comforting. Can you imagine Jesus comforting that man right on the cross? "Don't worry. Today you're going to be with me in heaven."
Amen.
How many believe that's comforting words?
Amen.
Look while you're there. Look at 1 John 5:24. 5:24, John. Oh, this is some good stuff, man. 5:24. If you're bored, I'm sorry. I think it's great stuff. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Hallelujah! I've got something waiting for me over yonder. Look at John 11:25-26. Look what he said to Mary and Martha. Oh, what a great statement. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live."
Amen.
Woo! I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me. And I'm going to live forever.
Amen.
"And whosoever," anyone, "whosoever liveth and what? Believeth in me shall what? Never die. Believest thou this?" I'm glad we have. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. These are words of comfort. First John 5:13. Scripture says in that verse 11, 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. And his life is in his Son. He that the Son hath life. He that not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. Got life? Got life? You got the shirts? Got life? Amen. If you got Jesus, you got life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Yeah. If you got religion, you don't have life.
Yeah. Right.
You got anything but Jesus, you ain't got life. But you got Jesus, you got life.
Amen.
If you got Jesus, if you got Jesus, then you got comfort.
Yeah.
Because you know when this life's over, you're going to heaven. He that the Son hath life, he that not Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you, 1 John 5:13. That believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know.
Amen.
That you may know. He doesn't keep us in the dark, does he? That you may know that you have eternal life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now. The first two statements, Jesus, Father, forgive them, comforting, compassion, compassionate words. The second statement, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Those are comforting words. Compassionate words, comforting words. I'll go through the other five a lot quicker. I've laid the foundation. I hope you can come back tonight because I'm going to finish this message. I really believe if you'll come back, God will bless you. Let me ask you something before we close. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you have that promise of that comfort that today thou shalt be in paradise with me? See, when a Christian dies, the Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. If I die, I've got the comforting words to be absent from the body. I'm going straight up. I can't wait. What about you? If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to tell you right now, he went to the cross for you because he had compassion for your soul. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those were compassionate words. He wants all people to be saved. That means you. That means your family. That means your friends. That means all your acquaintances. And then if they'll turn to him like the thief did, he's got comforting words. Today, thou shalt be in paradise with me.
Amen.
Do you have that comfort? If you don't really know if you die, if you go to heaven, don't leave this church today. Let's get it settled once and for all. So when you lay your head in the pillow tonight, you can have the knowledge and the comfort. I know if I die, I'm going to heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for the time we've had in the Word. Thank you for your words. And I pray, dear God, that comfort and compassion will flow today. I pray, dear God, that you would bless everyone here. Bless those that would be by the way of the internet that would hear this message in the future. Holy Spirit, it's no accident that people heard this today and they will hear it in the future. And may all the hearers understand that God loves them. And that he's trying to reach out in compassion and comfort to try to reach their heart. Help us today, Father, to think on Calvary. Help us to think about all you did for us. I wonder, with our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure that I saw myself a lost sinner. And I do have those comforting words. I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there anyone today, say, Pastor, and I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I really don't have the comforting promise of God. I'd like to have that comforting promise of God that if I died, I've got religion, I've got all kinds of stuff, But I really don't have that comforting promise of God that if I died, I know I for sure I'd go to heaven. I'd sure like to know. Would you pray for me? Just raise a hand. Who'd say that? Just put your hand and pray for me. Raise anyone like that today? Big church, you're a lot of people. Say, preacher, pray for me. I don't have those comforting promise, and I'd sure like anyone like that at all? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Maybe, let me ask you one more thing. Maybe you're saved, but you know some family or friends that don't have these comforting words. And you'd say, preacher, with my hand extended, I'm lifting up some people in my heart that God would reach out to, that we'd see them saved. Who would say that? Pray. I know some people that are lost. Heavenly Father, help us to know that the Lord, almost every person raised their hand that they know people that do not have the comforting promise of Christ, the hope of heaven. And I pray that this week we would do all we could to go out and share the love of Christ. Do all we can that they could get that promise and comfort from Christ, that they would be saved. Help us to go out and witness and try to bring people even to hear the word of God, this revival. Help us to be motivated and stirred and moved to warn the people before it's everlasting too late. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. 382.